this is, you know, we, the fact that, you know, of course, God's using it. The fact that we're live streaming right now is, and many people are watching from us at home is indicative of what's up on the screen. Some founded, some unfounded, but fear seems to be gripping us individually as a country like I don't think I've seen it in my lifetime, in my 20 years of life here on earth. Okay, that might be a little, that might be a little off, but you get the idea. But fear is, we've just gone through some wonderful psalms, and I hope that you've seen it online. If not, you can check it out. We just got done with Psalm 139 and how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's so beautiful and so amazing how God has knit us together intricately, and he loves us, and it's personally, and his thoughts outnumber the sand and the sea towards us. Billions of thoughts every minute towards you, towards me, even Anthony. That's even me, even Pastor Gary. That's amazing to me. And then Psalm 133, in a time of everybody is so divided, right? Mask, no mask, Republican, Democrat, Independent, blah, 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 blah. We're just divided over everything, right? Yet God says, I want you to be united in me, in Christ Jesus, under the banner of my word. Awesome to see you, brother. Awesome to see you. So God is really cool. And so... And now we're just going to do one topical before we get into the book of Malachi, and we're doing it on fear. And I want to read this something, so I pulled one of my messages out from the mothballs, and I'm going to read to you, because this is interesting to me. I'm going to read to you what I said. And this was like a decade ago. Okay, when I originally did this teaching and on this topical teaching on fear. Obviously, I don't do a lot of topical teachings. We do more verse by verse, but you get the idea. It says this. I'm just going to quote it. It says, I wrote down, now you guys may or may not be aware of this. There is a pandemic that's flooding across our country. Okay, first off, there was no pandemic ever that I remember, across, at least in my lifetime, flooding across our country. I just thought, that was really interesting. And it says, no, it's not AIDS or the bird flu or even the H1 swine flu. The pandemic that is overwhelming us like a tsunami tidal wave, especially amongst God's people, is fear. And I thought, oh my goodness, here we are a decade later. The Lord reminds me of this sermon. I had to dig for this. And here we are facing, and listen, I'm not... There's so much stuff going on, it's overwhelming even to talk about. You know, there's riots and corona and all this stuff, but the main thing that's really gripping us, right, is fear. There are so many people, listen, and if you're not in it right this second, you will be. And so we're going to talk about fear, and I want us to go talking about from becoming fearful to fearless. And that, not ignorant or anything like that, but fearless in the fact that our faith and our hope and our trust comes from the Lord and not anything or anyone else. Because if we start putting our, think about it, if you start putting your faith, I love America, okay? But if you start putting your faith in America or the government or politicians, or your job, or finances, right? Or even, let's be honest, your friends, quote, unquote. You get it? Our faith, our trust, our hope, our foundation, our strength comes from an intimate love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where everything is pulled from. And I'm thus not talking about in your head, because if it's in your head, that's good. But it's not going to have any change to how you live or how you think or how you interact with others. That comes from Jesus, from living it out, from walking it out. And God wants to change us from being fearful to fearless. And that comes by the power of God. That comes by the word of God being poured into our hearts and then us acting upon it, us trusting in that word regardless. Because our head sometimes says, I don't want to do that. I don't trust that, right? Instead, no, we trust in the living God. I'm going to trust in what your word says. I don't care who does what or what happens. I'm going to put my trust in you. So we're going to go over three scriptures today, Lord willing. We're going to go over three scriptures today. We're going to talk about three main scriptures. We're going to talk about fear in general, if this works. There we go. And so for those of you guys, some of you guys take notes, some don't. Fear in general, that's going to be Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. We're going to talk about the fear of God, and that's in Psalm 111:10. And then we're going to talk about the fear of man. The fear of man, and that's in Proverbs 29:25. That's one of my favorite verses, and it's one thing I definitely want to talk about. So, now I have to say up front, sorry about that. I don't think that all fear is bad. Do you know what I mean? Like the natural fear that would arise, for example, if Mrs. Guider started a fire on her seat and all of a sudden that fire spread, right? I think it would be okay for us to be fearful and to maybe run out of this building or to grab a fire extinguisher, right? It would cause us to do something. So sometimes fear can be a good thing. Or even, honestly, fearing the Lord. Listen, when you fear the Lord, we're going to talk about what that means. Not like he's going to beat us, he's going to beat us. But you're going to hear what that word means. And it means awe, reverent respect. And Lester did a teaching on that not too long ago, a few months back. But fearing the Lord helps us to kind of shun evil and to turn to God and to do what he wants us to do, right? So fear can be a good thing. Or honestly, looking for a way to defend yourself. Sometimes I'll go for a walk with my kids. Used to be run when I was younger. Now sometimes I'll go for a walk or my kids or I'll listen to some tunes. And I don't know if you've ever come across like a stray dog or something like that. Or like a pit. Those pits. Oh, sorry. I know some of you guys probably have pits. But anyway. All right. They're the pits. So, but you know, if I saw a pit bull that's coming up to me, or a couple of them, sneering, snarling, canine balls of white-hot terror, and they're, you know, that natural fear to, okay, I need to get out of here, I need to defend myself, right? That's a wise response, isn't it? Okay, so I don't believe fear in and of itself is a sin. Does that make sense? Okay, because we can fear the Lord, some of these natural reactions, but I do believe it can lead to a life filled with sin. Because Jesus said, hey, I've given you not a spirit of fear, but of boldness and of sound mind. And so fear, if it's left unchecked, can be consuming. It can be debilitating. It can be crushing. It can feel like a boat anchor around you that you are dragging around every second of every minute of every day of your life. And that's a terrible way to live. But that's the reality for a lot of people. Now, honestly, fear is one of Satan's greatest weapons, right? Because, you know, to be honest, most of what we're afraid of, it really resides where? We're most of the time, now not all of the time, everybody understands me here, okay? Most of the time, we're so worried and anxious about what could happen, right? I don't even know if I should use this story. But my sister lives in another state. She got recently saved, so sometimes she watches these teachings. We're so thankful now that you are in the kingdom of God. But I remember one time when a particular party that she wanted for president did not get elected, and then the party that she didn't and that I had voted for at the time did get into power. I just remember her on the phone screaming at me, "He's fingers on the nuke. We're all gonna die tomorrow," you know. And here we are. You know what I'm saying? But that was a very real, in her mind, fear. Like the next day, that El Presidente, okay, let's just start firing nukes because, you know, we hear so much media, so much things pulling us this and that direction. I mean, it is crazy. And what the enemy will do, some of these natural fears, look, it's kind of a good thing to be wary of coronavirus, is it not? Yes. Okay, that's smart. Some of you are wearing masks. That seems wise to me, okay? But what the enemy will do, will take and he will pour gasoline. You watch any little news show, they actually try to do that. They try to hype you up and get you fearful and afraid and of everything, right? Because it makes bigger news, bigger headlines, right? So the enemy wants to pour gasoline on your fears, on your anxieties, on your worries, to have them be what started as just a little thing in you, right? That's controllable. Now becomes this unquenchable, raging fire within you. And you are freaking out. You're a mess. You don't know, sit, stand, go. And it's this out of control, raging fire in your life. Fear to us is like the 10-foot Goliath who terrified the army of God. Do you remember that story? It's in 1 Samuel 16 and 17, you know. And fear was very real. God's people, for those of you who don't know the story, God's people were at war with the Philistines, right? And all of God's troops lined up for battle. I've actually been in Israel to where that is, where they lined up for battle. And God's people on one hill and the Philistines on one hill and their champion Goliath, who was a monster. And I mean a monster. This dude was at least 10 foot tall. At least 10 foot tall and a warrior. And so what he would do is he would come out every morning. David was sent. Most of Jesse's sons were sent to the battle lines, except for David, because unfortunately, even though God thought a lot about him, David's dad didn't think much of him. He was just a shepherd boy. And so he's like, "Why don't you send all the food? I'm going to send the food with you to the front lines to your brothers." So he went there and he delivered the foods and the rations to the place where you check that in. And then he went to go find his brothers. And when he got there, just like he did every other day, the Goliath of the Philistines would come out and challenge all of God's people. "Will any of you stand up? Will any of you trust the Lord?" Right? And he would come out and he would taunt them. Right? And he would mock them. Doesn't the enemy do that in your life? And if you I don't know if you've ever read it, but in 1 Samuel 17, it says, when the Israelites saw the man, Goliath, that came, and he taunted him every day, what does it say that these warriors, these Israelite army soldiers did? They what? They ran from him. In what? And how many of those soldiers? Because it was so overwhelming. Who is the only one, if you guys remember the story, who was like, "Why are you letting this uncircumcised Philistine mock our God and belittle our God?" Do you remember who that was? Which mighty warrior on God's side was that? Little shepherd boy David. Now, in reality, in fact, his brothers even mocked him for that, if you know the story. They're like, "Oh, you're just a snot-nosed kid. You think you're all that. You don't know anything, you know?" And David's like, "I just trust in the Lord. He's taken me out of the mouths of bears and lions. Who's this guy that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He went back not on his own abilities as a shepherd boy, or his strength, or his cunning, or his wits. He went back and he says, "You know what? I trust the Lord." And that's where we need to be. Now more than ever, I see this weapon of fear being used to disable God's people. And it's disabling you. and it's hurting you. And it's corroding our confidence in God, in his love for us, in his awesome power. It's scaring me. I mean, I actually said to somebody, I didn't mean this meanly, but I said, your God is too small. As I was talking about something, we don't need to get into the details of it. But your God is too small. You don't know him. A lot of those guys that were lined up on that battlefield in David's time didn't know him like David knew him. Now more than ever, we have to know our God, know his word, trust in it. Because as it gets darker, it's going to be overwhelming. Fear is like of the big bad bully of the school year. And I don't know if you guys know this, but I grew up in the south side of Chicago. Okay, and if you know anything about the south side of Chicago, it's not, I was actually had a nice childhood there in general. I had a nice childhood, but it's not super duper friendly place. Okay, and so on this south side, one of the families were Italian. So one of the families on the block were the dreaded Guidos. That was their last name, the Guidos. Now this family, you know, all the brothers were, you know, that was kind of like the drug house, all the, you know, I remember one of the Guidos was in my grade after he had failed like four times in the public school system. So, you know, the Guidos to me were like monsters, right? They were the ones they'd always like go over, steal your lunch money. I remember having my lunch money stolen a couple times. You know, fear is like that big bad bully of the schoolyard, or for you girls, they're the mean girls who would just decided, I'm going to pick on you, and I'm going to mock you, and I'm going to make fun of you, and I'm going to tear you down. That's what that fear is like, and that's to me almost like what that fear represents. And honestly, even in our current information age, think about this. I mean, we've got Corona going on right now, right? That's a fearful thing. There are riots, different places in the country. People, our elected officials are actually wanting to defund the police. What are people thinking as a law-abiding citizen, right? I mean, just using logic here, okay? What do you think is going to happen? Who do you think, let me ask this way, who do you think is going to benefit most if you defund the police? This is not rocket scientists. I mean, science here. I mean, this is just think it through. Back when before I was saved, let me tell you, I would be all for that. Sounds like a great plan to me, defund the police. Less oppression for me so I can do more bad stuff. Woohoo! Now that I'm saved and I'm walking on the right side of the path, I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, what a knucklehead I was. Even, you know, terrorism. What is the first word in terrorism? It's terror, right? Fear is everywhere. And if you read the news again, there's so much. And so we kind of anesthetize ourselves with TV shows, right? Or things to do and hobbies. But even then, the enemy's getting in. Do you know what the number one show? I wanted to put a slide up, but I didn't have it. The number one show on Netflix is this right now, as of yesterday. Does anybody know? Daryl's saying it. What is it? Lucifer. The number one show in all of our country right now is Lucifer. Yes, and the little caption goes something like this. Yes, he's a fallen angel and does evil, but he's not really such a bad guy, and he runs one heck of a bar. And we laugh, you know, but honestly, it's disgusting. We're talking about the enemies of your soul. I sent out a little text, and which says that the thief, the enemy, wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy. Some of you got that, right, on your phones? And you know what? That freaked people out. But that's who he is. He does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the only where we're safe is standing on the promises of God. He's our refuge. He's our ever-present help in times of trouble. Listen to this. According to a study of thousands of children and college students, And this was even some years ago, issued in the American Psychological Association's journal. The study found that fear and anxiety has increased so much in America, listen now, ready? That the typical ordinary school child in our day reported more fear and anxiety than a locked up psychiatric patient did in the 1950s. And that was 10 years ago when I originally did the teaching. Imagine what it would be now. But I want to, even though fear makes us like cower in the corner, and when I let my thoughts run away with myself, it makes me feel like I'm all alone, right? I can't take it anymore or whatever. But I want you to think about this. Even God's people got afraid. If you read the Bible, you see that this is a reality. Moses, what a great man of faith, right? He's in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, right? But you know what? When God called Moses, when he was young in the Lord, do you know what? He was like, maybe you can send somebody else. I'm not an eloquent speaker. Who am I, Lord, that I should go to Pharaoh? Let my people go. And God's like, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to speak for you and through you. I think of people like in the Bible, like Joshua. If you read Joshua chapter 1, even in the first chapter, God's saying, you're going to leave my people now that Moses dead. And do you know what? God had to encourage Joshua multiple times. Joshua's like, when I think of Joshua, I think, what a man of God. But you know, he was like, hey, I'm only a child. I don't know what I'm doing here. Right? You ever feel that way? I don't know what I'm doing. God bless you. Yet God told him, be strong and courageous because I'm going to be what? With you, wherever you go. You think of others in the Bible too, like Elijah. Here, he miracles right in front of him, right? I've been to Mount Carmel where Elijah by himself battled 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah, and God came down and consumed Elijah's offering and the 850, and it was a tremendous victory in front of all God's people. God did a miracle. Fire came down. It was an amazing thing. You'd think, wow, God, if I only saw more miracles, then I'd be set. All Israel saw this miracle. Fire raining down from heaven, consuming everything, right? Right in front of the whole country because of Elijah's prayer. But do you know what happened right after that? In 1 Kings, I think it's 18? Elijah, or maybe 19? Elijah ran. Jezebel, who was the queen, said, that's it. You killed all my false prophets. I'm going to get you. I'm coming after you, and I'm going to kill you. And he ran away, and he hid, and he was afraid. And you get the idea. Paul, God had to actually appear to Paul and speak to him and say, hey, Paul, be strong, be courageous. When I think of strong people, I think of the Apostle Paul. Man, if I could be like him. But he got afraid too. It's natural. In fact, he said, I've got many people in the city. You don't need to be afraid. Because he keeps going back, I'm with you. That's the theme. I'm with you. Right? God says that to you. He says, sometimes will I leave you and sometimes will I forsake you? No. Oh, am I wrong?
Yes.
What does this word say?
Never.
Wait, no. When is it? How? What does it say?
Never.
Say it again.
Never.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
You do. But that wasn't a strong yes, if I could just be honest. The more we draw near to the Lord and the more we learn to trust him in our lives and by experience as we trust him, the more confidence that we have that whatever comes our way, he's going to see us through it. You can trust him. Now listen, I want to be a good, loving pastor. I want to be an honest pastor. I want to be a true pastor. I want to be a faithful pastor. But you know what? I'm not perfect. God is. And he says, I'll always be there for you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's our God. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 4. I got to get there myself. Mark chapter 4. Give me just a second because I got to get there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Pastor D, can I ask you a question?
If you do it with a microphone, and then Stanley has one too. Nehemiah, do you mind being our runner? Ezekiel, do you mind being our runner? Here, one of you two. Would you please come here for just a second? Would you bring it back to Mark, and then would you bring it back to Stanley? And by the way, yes, you can ask questions and make comments.
During your time of sickness, when you had prayed to be healed, and and it kept going downhill and downhill and downhill, were you ever afraid during that time? Was there ever fear in your heart?
I was always completely confident, Mark. No. I want to be honest, okay? Here, I want to be honest. Thank you for asking that question. And then would you also bring the microphone over to Mr. Stanley, our friend? First off, just to be honest, the Lord spoke to me and said that I needed to go through this. So to be honest, at first, when God spoke that to me, I was 100% whatever. Live, die, I'm all for the Lord. Just to be honest, bring it on. If I die, don't make it through it. I'm trusting him. If I make it through it, I'm trusting him. He said, communicated to me, I need to go through this. And so I trust him because by experience, I know him. I love him. So, but I will say that as time went on, as I'm actually kind of going through the time there, as they were removing my kidney, it's cancerous, and then they screwed up and let me out early, and I'm hallucinating, and had to send me back in the hospital for another month, and I'm dying, and my bladder shut down, my bowels shut down, and what's going on with me? And then now we're talking a few months, and now I'm thinking, did I really hear that from the Lord? Lord, are you really there? You know what I mean? That fear gets in your mind, and I'll never forget this. It was actually, and what was happening was I wasn't allowed to take pain medication. So for about 2 weeks, I could only sleep about an hour or two a night, and I was just in pain, writhing in pain. And in fact, so much so that the hospital nurses wanted to sneak me against the doctor's order and give me pain medication, just to be honest. And I said no, because we needed to get my insides woken up from the anesthesia. Anyway, at about the 14th day, I was so tired, I was so exhausted, I literally could barely move as they put me on a gurney to wheel me down. And I thought, as I was going down there, I was thinking, oh, Lord, now I can literally talk about having nothing. I literally couldn't even get and move from my bed to the little gurney. Talk about humbling. Strong guy to nothing. I'd be taken care of like a little baby. It's very humbling. Like a big baby, yeah. And so as they're wheeling me down there, I'm like, man, I don't know if I could take it. I can't take one more procedure. I can't. And I started getting overwhelming fear. I'll use what little energy I have. I'm going to crawl out of here. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever felt that way? Like, I know it didn't make sense, but look, that's all I could come up with, you know? I just got to get out of here. It's not godly. It's not the right thing to do, but this is what's going through my mind, and I'm fighting it. Literally, as they're bringing me down there, and I'm like, Lord, did you just forget about me? Where are you? And I prayed to the Lord. Actually, no, I'm going to be honest. At that exact moment in time, I don't think I was praying to the Lord. I think I was just exhausted. And I'm like, I'm so scared. And it was overwhelming me. And at that point, wasn't thinking about it, just thinking about the Lord actually brought back a teaching I did. I don't know if any of you guys were with me when we talked through the book of James together. Just raise your hand, book of James, a few of you. And he brought back going through trials. Do you remember that in James chapter 1? What it produces. Do you remember that? And he actually brought it back, my own teaching, and he's replaying it in my mind. I don't even want to think of it at this point. I want to take my ball and go home. I want to run. I'm scared. And he's running it through my mind. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what are you doing? And it's my own teaching, which is kind of ironic because I'm like, oh, remember you taught this? Remember? I'm like, yeah, but I want to say in my mind, but that was different. It's not different. Remember, and he actually scriptures my own words. He's running it through my mind. And then I get to the procedure place, and I'm just praying at that point. I'm like, okay, Lord, you know I just don't have the strength for this. And this guy did something that he was never supposed to do. Oh, my goodness, I'm getting way off track. I get back on the board. Sorry. We might do this fear thing for 2 weeks because I'm just realizing. Okay, so anyway, the bottom line is I was so overwhelmed. I was just praying. Now I'm praying because the Lord's reminding me of stuff. And I'm doing it very quietly. And this isn't something you never are supposed to do. You know, that the guy comes over and there's other people. He whispers to me. He said, I'm a Christian too. You're going to be okay. I'm praying for you. Now that could have got him fired. And I thought, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. I'm like, I didn't even realize I was saying it out loud. Do you know what I mean? I was just whispering it. I don't even know how he heard me, to be honest with you, with all the things that they were doing and doing to me. I don't know to this, but I remember that. In fact, I saw him later and I was able to thank him. Of course, he was a little nervous, but he was like, thank you so much. He's like, thank you. And so, yes. And then when I got out, I got corona. Me and Elijah, we were helping somebody. We met nobody, one person. We were quarantined for a month. Now I have the antibodies. Now I feel, I'm like, bring it on! You know, but at that time, I was told if I got the corona in my weakened condition, you're dead, you're going to die. I was actually told that. Okay, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. He's going to see me through this. And you know what happened?
He saw
me through it. Thank you, Lord. Stanley, you have something you want to say.
I was just going to say self-preservation, I think, gets in our way a lot when it comes to...
Like handling it ourselves instead of...
Yeah, it's, in fear and stuff like that. You know, they're like, oh, my goodness, I got all that. They flash, oh, I got all this stuff to lose.
Yes.
And it's just horrible if you think... And for me, I've had... it's a choice to be scared, really. It's just a choice. You can tell yourself, "Hey, I don't want to be scared. I got the Lord on my side."
Yeah,
you know. But self-preservation does get in the way when something happens. It can overrule a lot of stuff. And like you say, we get everything from Jesus. You know, if we can get that instilled when the first thing happens, we.
Take that thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So as we're going to go through Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, I just want to let you know, I even think of the disciples. They got scared too. They were just like us. So don't picture them as some people that never made mistakes or never got fearful. They did, but they ended up going back and trusting the Lord just like you need to do, just like I need to do. Listen, the disciples in here, they walked with Jesus. They saw his miracles. So even before we start the verse in Mark chapter 4, if you look at some of these verses, the disciples had just witnessed with their own eyes the power, the love, the authority of Jesus, right? They had just experienced firsthand his power and authority over the word. In Mark chapter 1:22, it says, the people were amazed at his teaching. Because he taught them as one who had authority or power, not as the other teachers of the law. And then even later on, it said they had just experienced firsthand his power and authority over the demonic realm, right? If you remember that guy in Mark chapter 1, demon in church of all places, right? And it says he cast out that demon in the middle of church. And it says the people were all so amazed. They said to each other, who is this? He even gives orders to evil spirits. And they obey him. That's our God. So the disciples had just witnessed that. Not only that, they had just witnessed him heal a man who had been paralyzed and even forgave sins. That's the power that he had. It says in Mark chapter 2, 10 to 12, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he took his mat and he walked out in full view of all of them. And this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we've never even seen anything like this. And yet still, they got scared. And still, they had a hard time trusting the Lord, right? And you know what? Sometimes I think about that. Like, Mark, when you asked that question, sometimes I still get scared. I've experienced more than most, I think, and yet sometimes that fear can grip me. I have to go back to what I already know. Like Stanley was saying, I have to go back and say, remember what he says. Remember what his word says. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You know, the disciples, like us, we can let fear kind of creep back in. And I don't know if it was Mark or Lester had an acronym or something like this for worldly fear. And what was it?
False evidence appearing real.
And I like that. However, there's sometimes that evidence is real. Okay, for example, I was injured. I did have cancer. I did have, you know, there are, right, some of that is real. So what I thought about is as it comes to worldly fear, if I were to do an acronym, I just put forgetting everything's all right. When you have Jesus, when you are born again, when you have his Holy Spirit living within you, when you have given your life over to him, you have to remember, never will I leave you, never forsake you. It's just Jesus says to you, like he says to me, and I found this scripture, and I'm going to share two things with it. Jesus says, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I'll overcome the world. In John 16, 33. And I said, oh, I really like this verse. It's so cool. I like how it looks. And okay, I was really, and then I said, you know what? That's not the verse. That's not all of it. Because, and here it is. Jesus first says, these things I have spoken to you, he says, that in me you may have peace. As you take and you go back and you remember his love for you, that everything that's going through your life is on the backdrop of the cross, that he's already died for you, that he's got you, that your sins are taken care of, past, present, and future. He's going to see you through it. That in me, you may have peace, Jesus says. In me, you may have peace. Well, let's, 1 second, Mark, if you don't mind. He says in Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41, and let's, if we can, let's just read that together. It says in verse 35, it says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Now, many of you already know this passage already, but I just want you to take note of this in this verse. In verse 35, Jesus told his disciples they were going over to the other side, okay, as they were going to cross the Sea of Galilee there. I've been on it. And he didn't say that they were going to go under. He gave them a promise. He gave them his word that they were going to make it. And we, like the disciples, have to remember to hold fast to his word and trust in the one who's given it to us. For God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We have to trust him. We have to trust his word. Picture a lamp, that Bible verse in Psalm 119, 105. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our feet, one step in front of the other in the darkness. He is going to light the way. All we have to do is walk with him. God's word says this, and I made this slide and I just thought it was great. Psalm 56, 3 and 4 says, when I am afraid, and this is for you, Christian, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What will mere mortals do to me? Listen, as we learn to trust in him personally, not because I say it, but because we've learned to do that, when we choose to trust in his word and to praise him for that, we don't need to be afraid. He'll see us through every situation. Now, if you're sitting here and you're just listening to the teaching and you're not holding on to the word, you're not hiding his word in your heart, you're not acting upon it and trusting it, well, then you're hearing other people say yes and amen. You're going, oh, I can hardly breathe. God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to move from being fearful to fearless as you're filled with him, as you're filled with his word. By experience, you will learn to trust in him. You can overcome every obstacle in Jesus' name. Everyone. Everyone. That fear and anxiety does not have to rule you. For you're a child of the King, baby. He loves you with an everlasting love. You can be like these kids. I just love, you ever had, one thing some of the kids used to do, and Elijah, Ezekiel, and when they were, now Elijah's like, anyway. But when they used to do, when they were really little, they used to jump off the bed sometimes, and they would like jump into my arms. Have you ever had a kid do that, you know? Just like, woohoo, you know? That's where we can be when we're with the Lord. We can trust him. We need to hold on to him and his word, especially when the skies darken. Listen, it scares me right now that it's getting darker and darker, and we're still on gospel light. We're still on Christian light. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that word needs to really become now more than ever who we are. We're going to compromise our principles. You know, we're going to compromise our convictions. It'll happen. Unless we hold on to him and his word. So no matter what fear comes, remember that trusting in the Lord, trusting his word is going to repel that. And that's really, literally what we have to do. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 11, he says, anyone who trusts in him, meaning Jesus, will never be put to shame. And never means in the Greek, never. It's not fancy. You can especially trust him in the dark times. Listen, don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Listen, that's why it's so important to be getting these Bible teachings in. That's why it's so important to be doing devotionals every day. It's so easy to push God out, right? We're so busy, right? Now more than ever, make time. Put that word in you. Renew your mind. Transform it. Hide it in there. And then act on it. When situations come up each day, you have a choice. I can teach my son all day long the word of God, but unless he chooses to do it, unless you choose to do it, you will never grow. You will never be strengthened. You will never be made more strong in the Lord. Your faith won't grow. Your trust won't grow unless you choose to do it. I wish I could make you, but I can't. Jesus said to that paralytic, pick up your mat and go home. Well, that paralytic, this Jesus guy, he doesn't realize, paralyzed, hello. Right? But instead, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords said, get up and go home. And he had a choice, and he did so, and in power of the Holy Spirit, got up, went forth. That is an awesome thing. It says this. Remember, don't doubt in the dark what God has promised you in the light. It goes on to say in Mark chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. It says, leaving the crowds behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Look at what it says in verse 37 in your Bibles. It says, a furious squall came up. It sounds like a bird, but it's not. A furious squall came up. And the waves broke over the boat, and it was nearly swamped. That word furious squall means in the Greek a mega whirlwind. This isn't just a bad thunderstorm or some chop on the water. This is like a violent hurricane. Yeah, some of you said that. That's going on in the middle of the sea. And so it's getting so bad that these guys are fishermen. They're experienced seamen, right? You know, they know what's going on. It's so bad they're thinking the boat's going down. In pitch black stormy seas and stormy skies, we're going to go down. And remember, this boat doesn't have like what we think, you know, life rafts, flotation devices, you know, life jackets, distress beacons. They're not radioing in for help, you know. They're just like, oh, no. They're thinking they're going down. And so Jesus, on the other hand, he's quite confident. He said, I know my word's true. I'm going over the other side. We're going over the other side. There's nothing to worry about. I gave my word. So he's actually asleep in the stern. The disciples, unfortunately, at this point, they didn't have very much faith. So look at this with me. As their confidence dies and their fear consumes them, even though they've seen all these miracles, right? Casting out demons and power over the word and pick up your mat and go home, all this stuff that they've experienced with their own eyes and lives go right out the window. In the midst of the storm, they say to the Lord in fear. In verse 38, look at it with me. Jesus was in the storm, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned? Don't you care if we drowned?" What are the disciples really questioning here during these hard times, during the storm, during the raging seas? What are they really questioning Jesus about here? It's motivation, whether or not he cared. Whether or not, that's good, Dana. Whether or not they loved him. Right? Think about this. They're not really questioning his authority, are they? When I read that, they're not really questioning his ability in the circumstances. They're questioning God's affection for them. See, Brett, it's really easy for you to look at me and say, oh, I know God loves him. I know God loves Flo. But what do you think sometimes when you're going through hard times? I don't know if God loves. Why are you? Right. That's what the disciples are doing. That's what we can do too. Don't you care about me? And you know, it's real easy to praise the Lord. Hey, how's everybody? It's great up here to stand up here and say, how's everybody doing this morning? Great, hallelujah. Everybody at home watching on a live stream, you doing well? Hallelujah, praise God. Things are going great. Woo! Yeah, man. But you know what? For a lot of us, times are tough right now, right? And that's where the rubber meets the road. So I wasn't going to do this, but I think the Lord is just prompting. I'm going to ask a few people afterwards just to come up. And if you need prayer to be encouraged, you need prayer, if fear is striking in you in some way, I want to pray for you. And so I don't even know, Flo, I'm going to ask you if you could come up. And Gary, not right this minute, it's in a little while. And we're just pray at the end of the service, and we're just going to ask if you need prayer. Who has the microphone? Okay, Mark, would you mind giving that? Betty, you have a question? No, I just remembered, Mark, you had something else to say. Okay.
I don't know how many people have been in an abusive relationship in here. And you're talking about the fear. I remember there was one time when I know God was talking to me. After an hour and a half being beaten to the floor by my ex-husband. When he got finished, he went in and got into the living room. I was scared to death because I thought he was going to kill me. And he went and got sat down in the living room and was watching TV like it was nothing. I got up off the floor after hearing my oldest son say, "Mama, are you okay?" And then I heard God say, get your children and leave. Walk out the door. I got up, got my children, went down the hallway, started out the door. He said, where do you think you're going? I turned around and looked at him. I said, I'm done. You will never hurt me again. And I walked out with no money, no food, and just left. But God provided. And that was the most fear I've ever felt and afraid. Because I knew if I went back, he would continue to hit me and beat me. But I knew in my heart that God would protect me and my children, and I wouldn't have to be afraid again.
And you know what I've noticed, Betty? You know, I'm just watching you grow in the Lord. I've noticed that he has taken care of you every step of the way. And he has provided for you every step of that way to here and to now. And your God has taken care of you through all that. And I know it even there's even some worse parts to that story, but that is true. And you know, we need to settle this in our hearts that God loves us. This is a sin-filled, yucky world. And honestly, I hate to say it, I don't think it's going to get much better. I actually think it's going to get worse. What kind of a pastor are you telling me that? I'm a truthful pastor. I think it's going to get worse. So right now, you need to settle it in your mind that God loves me. Listen, God says this in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and I love this. He says, but God demonstrated his love for you in this, that while you were yet sinner, while you were still rebelling against him, he died for you. I'm going to show this verse here. The Bible says this, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, ever. The Bible says this in that Romans 5:8 we just talked about. He showed you his love while you were still an enemy. And it says this, and I couldn't think of a good slide. I made this one up. I'm not sure which I like better, this one or this one. You guys can tell me. I think I'll go with this one. But it says, as the Father has loved me, I loved you. That's Jesus. And I love this picture. It's a heart pouring out. As the Father has loved me, Jesus says, I have loved you. Oof. Pouring it out. Can anything or anyone separate us from the love of Christ? I'm so glad you asked. Because I go back to the Word for everything. And Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 37 says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or are destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No! Despite all these things, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors. He could have left it at that. But he said, no, you're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who what? Listen, don't listen to all those people or even your own head when you're thinking that he doesn't love you. You settle it. He's already demonstrated that he loves you. Do you know what I'm saying? He's already showed you, and nothing can separate. I love this little heart lock on here, too. I love that. Don't base your love on your feelings, because they'll lie to you sometimes. Ephesians says this. Sorry, Chris, I got one more. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, 17 to 19, Paul's praying and says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide it is and how long and how high, how deep is the love of Christ, not just to know it, well, just to see it, but and to know this love personally, intimately, experientially, that surpasses knowledge, just head knowledge, that you may be filled with the full measure of God. Listen, I want you just to know it, not just intellectually, but experientially, that God loves you. And to be filled with the full measure of God. So settle it in your heart. God loves you. Stand on that trust and love. Let everything that happens to you be on the backdrop of that big heart of Jesus pouring out his love for you, that you can trust him, even if it ends in death. That really still, if you're a Christian, that death still means life. In fact, it means life. It says there's no more crying, no more pain. I had a friend of mine text me a little funny thing about the end of the world. I know, funny thing about the end of the world. And I said, it makes me think of that song. I don't know if you guys even remember it. But, you know, okay, it's an older song, like for me. It's the end of the world as you know it. It is the end. Do you remember that? Okay, well, if you don't know it, at the end it goes, and I feel fine. And they wrote back, oh, I didn't think I put that, and I feel fine. He's, well, I feel confined. And then I just wrote back to my friend. I said, listen, there'll be no more crying, no more death, no more pain. This is all what the Bible says. And you'll be with the Lord forever. I feel fine. That's why death has lost its sting. Even the worst thing that can happen to you is actually in the Lord. It's better to be with the Lord. So the worst thing that can happen to you on the planet, no, I don't want to go through it personally. We're all going to do it. But God's got something even better for me than this life. That's pretty awesome. Gary, how long have I been teaching? You've got to be kidding me. All right, let me just finish this one little section and then we'll do the rest next week. Sorry, give me 5 minutes. Sorry, I didn't realize I was talking so long. All right, so we're going to do Malachi after next Sunday. Okay, so maybe I'll just stop here. Doggone it. God doesn't want you to be filled with fear. He wants you to be filled with the love of God and to trust him and to be filled with his word and to trust him in that. Listen, you could listen to me all day say that. And wow, he's got great confidence. But that confidence has also come through great pain. Just to be honest, through scary times, through tempting times where I've had to trust in him, or even through mistakes like some of you have made. I've made them too and realized, oh, this stinks. I'm going to go back and trust the Lord and his word. You can do that right here and right now. God has nothing but love for you and the power of God, even his discipline. When he disciplines us, that's his love too. That's a loving dad. That's who you have as a father, not whatever is in your head. Your loving dad says, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you to me because I love you. Does that make sense? Now, whether you come to him or not is your choice. Jesus says, just come to me. Picture the open arms. All you who are weary, kneeling and heavy laden, I will give you rest, Jesus said. He said, take my yoke upon you, right? And learn from me, Jesus said. Learn from me. I've written a whole love letters, a book of them for you. Start in the New Testament. Take it in. Learn from me because I'm gentle and humble at heart. And there you'll find rest for your souls. As this world gets darker, may you draw more and more closer to the Lord, intimately, relationally. Hezekiah. Anthony, because the more you do that, the more the natural power, the supernatural power is going to come out of you. The less you do that, the dimmer the lights go. The more you draw near to him, the brighter that light gets in the darker times. You can actually be a lighthouse. Ungaleri, God could be using you as a lighthouse to shine in the darkness. Hallelujah. And he can even, listen, if he can use a broken, messed up, knucklehead vessel like this guy, let me tell you, he's got you. Do you know what I'm saying? So, Flo, can you come up here? And Gary, Pastor Gary, can you come up here too? Mark, would you mind coming up? Do you mind coming up? Just, I don't know if you want to sit on the couch or sit on one of these chairs, but listen, what we're going to do is I'm going to close out in prayer. They're just going to sit up here. And if you want, I don't know if Ms. Shillabar's here. Here, just have a seat. And what we're going to do is afterwards, if you just would like someone to pray for you, okay? Just someone to pray for you. Just take a couple of minutes. We're going to do that. Ms. Flo's going to be up here. Pastor Gary's going to be up here. Mr. Mark's going to be up here. And we're just going to pray for you, okay? And for the folks at home, I know there's still a bunch of people that are watching us from home. God loves you very much. Remember, he's not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power and a sound mind as you trust in him. So let's take a minute and pray. And then if you need to go, please know that we love you. You are absolutely welcome. Join us for the men's group this Tuesday. Pastor Gary always has some delicious food, or Mark. And so we just want to invite you out. But also come on up here and let us pray for you. We're just going to sit and we're going to hang. And we just want to pray for you. Don't be scared. You know what's going to stop you from coming up here and getting prayed for? Isn't it true? Come on. What will people think? People think I'm... You know what? I get afraid. Just come and let the Lord pray for you. Just let these guys pray for you and let the Lord minister to you. Okay? So let's take a minute and pray. And then you can come forward. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name. I thank you for this service. I thank you for each and every person. You've designed them to be here this week, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would take all their fearful lives and that you would remove it. Scoop it out, Lord God, with a bulldozer. Just get rid of it and replace it with loving and trusting you, Lord, till it fills every area of their heart, every area of their mind, every area of their life, where they start seeing that power and faith as they trust in you, as they learn to do that, or even if they've messed up, as they relearn to do that over again, Lord God. And you can be who you say you are, our ever-present help, our refuge in times of trouble, Lord God. We can trust in you. Lord, I pray for all the people at home right now that you give them an extra dose of confidence and trust in you and change that fearfulness into fearlessness, Lord God. I pray for each and every person here, Lord. I pray first for the folks that will be praying for folks, Lord, if anybody needs it. Lord, for Mark, for myself, for Flo, for Pastor Gary, Lord God, that you would just bless them with your anointing, Lord God. Where you would fill their hearts and minds, give them pictures, images, words of what you want prayed over any person that goes to them, Lord God. And that you would bring the right person to the right person. You would just have them come up and they would just go to whomever they feel led, or you would just direct them if they don't know. And that you would have them or us pray over them in a way that is completely led by your Holy Spirit. I thank you for each and every person who is here today, Lord God. Even that was overcoming fear. And I ask you to bless them mightily, Lord God, in a way that I can't. I ask that you would speak to them and through them, Lord, and that they would come back to hear the fear of the Lord and the fear of man in this next week, Lord God, and that you would speak to them. They don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from you, Lord. So, Lord, we pray in Jesus Christ's name for that to happen. And so, Lord, as the people go, as we shut off this service, Lord God, on the live stream, Lord, and anybody who wants to come down to pray, we just ask your Holy Spirit to blanket your people, Lord God. We ask for this blessing of faith to replace the feelings of fear in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you guys in Jesus' name.